Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 70. Wow, it's 70 episodes, Ray. And it's a Monday, November 6, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone, to Gay Geek Bizarre. We talk about gay news, geek topics, and
bizarre
stories.
Manager's a little drunk, y'all.
I had a martini. What can I say? It's a dirty martini, Ray. We are celebrating Jim's birthday, so he...
Because you're a dirty, dirty little Pinoy.
Dirty, dirty guy. Yes, that's right. So I had a martini, so it's pretty good. It's a very dirty martini that Jim prepared. Got him a very special Bombay Sapphire with lemongrass and peppercorn. It was with Vietnamese peppercorn. It's unique, so I had to get it. And... we had a drink. You didn't try any. You're not a martini drinker. You're more of a screwdriver type of guy, right?
Screwdriver. Margarita.
Margarita. That's pretty much it.
He makes some margaritas, martinis from time to time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So let's do some weekend updates, Ray. So last week, this Saturday, we went to see Thor. What do you think?
I thought it was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
But you don't mind the... the back-to-back-to-back-to-back humor.
Well, no. I mean, I thought it was pretty much... it's almost like they took Guardians of the Galaxy and dropped Thor in it.
Yeah, I guess that's the feeling. So, yeah.
But I also think it's that point where, you know, there's a scene where Thor is sitting there and talking to Loki, and he's talking about, you know, he's matured enough now that he understands what's going on.
Who does? Loki does.
Thor.
Well, Thor does.
Yeah, because it's talking about how him and his brother's relationship is.
Oh, okay.
So, and now that Odin's dead and he's king of Asgard, I think he's grown a lot and accepted a lot. I mean, I still don't think he's the brightest bub on the light plugged in, but
Thor isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's all about muscle and brawn and battling and stuff, but he's also learned to calm down and be a little bit cooler headed and think about things and his actions.
Yeah. So if you compare him now to the first two Thors, well, you know, the first two Thors were a little serious with a bit of humor.
Yeah. I mean, he was kind of a prick originally.
Yeah. And then in
Thor, I'm the God of Thunder and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. My lightning bolts don't sting. You know.
And then, of course, I guess you can argue that he got mixed up with the Avengers a couple of times already. Yeah. So, coming back to a real standalone Thor, so, he becomes catty.
Well, kind of, but I mean, it's also his dealings with Avengers, I think, is what makes him more human.
Yeah.
And makes him understand that there's a bigger picture than just him. Because before, he's kind of worked with some people in Asgard, but now he's actually had to be part of a team and... he's actually got, you know, friends that will do stuff for him. And...
wait, in the comic books, Thor is a demigod. He's half human.
No.
No, he's full god?
He's full god, yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. I thought it was demigod.
No, he's god.
I have to check that in the comic books. I don't know. I can't remember anymore. I used to collect it.
You're thinking about DC Universe.
No.
Two universes confused. No, Thor is a full god.
Thor is a full
god.
And
in the comic books, Thor, from what I remember when I was reading them, Thor was very hardcore, serious. Mm. He wasn't the joking Thor like that they're portraying him now. But that's all the change for, I think, the cinematic Marvel universe versus the...
yeah, that's what I learned from Luis or something, one of our friends, that the Marvel universe in the comic books is really different from the theater. Yeah. Marvel
theater. For the cinema universe, you have to make something that'll work.
Yeah, we have to make it sense.
That flows together because you're tying in all these different movies and storylines and stuff that... mm-hmm. In a comic book, you can do some weird stuff.
And get away with it.
And get away with it because you have these monthly issues and people are waiting on it. But you got 2.5 hours, 3 hours at the most here to bring people from point A to point B and move along.
And what happens in comic books, you can go from issue 1 to 100, and if you stop there and then take a hiatus, and then reboot the whole thing just to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's what they sometimes do. And then,
but I like the way it turned out, so.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. I mean, again, I'm going to watch it sometime this week, so that's the plan. Yeah, so, okay. Recommendable, but not in 3D. You don't have to watch it in 3D.
The only reason I did the 3D when we booked our tickets the other day is because that's the only theater that you can select your seats in.
Oh, okay.
And it was the 3D one. And it was cheaper because it was a daytime movie. So
yeah. It's relatively cheaper.
Yeah.
All right. So that's
unless the movie's actually filmed in 3D and ain't worth watching in 3D.
Yeah. It's like Avatar. So now, so that's what we did. We saw Thor Ragnarok last Saturday. And I myself went through softball but lost both our games. But oh well. It's just fall ball. It's just really for fun.
So instead of your life was more like Thor Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle Rock. Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Okay. So yeah, so also Ray, have you been watching Star Trek Discovery? Did you are you all caught up?
Am I Caucasian?
Yes.
Okay.
I still have to watch one more episode, I think. Yeah, one more episode. So this time, Mud. If you guys remember, all of you guys listening, if you remember Mud from back in Star Trek original series, and he was kind of a bad guy, but not really bad guy. He's just really out there for himself.
Yeah.
And I do remember him. Mud, he's kind of a bear back then.
He's still kind of a bear.
Yeah, in the 70s, yeah. Well, right now, the new one, the Mud right now, is kind of a bear, but, it's Rainn Wilson from The Office, so it's not very convincing. Well, no, wait. He is doing a good job as a villain or, a Mud, which is kind of intriguing that, you get to see this version of Mud.
Are you up to the episode where he's repeating everything?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Is that the latest?
There's one more.
There's one more after that.
That came out last
night. Okay, so yeah, that's one of the reasons why I mentioned it here in the notes that I got to see the Star Trek Discovery, and they did the classic Groundhog Day. Whenever you do a sci-fi film, you have to have a Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think all the series had that where everything.
Except I don't know about Star Trek. The original series. I don't think
The Next Generation, I think, had that.
They did that?
I think Discovery, Deep Space Nine did that, where things kept repeating in a time loop.
Yeah. So. And did, I'm trying to recall if Voyager did it. But anyway, there's lots of sci-fi that did that. Like, Stargate.
Yeah.
Not Star Trek franchise, but Stargate. They did a, and they made a joke out of, Richard Dean Anderson had to make a joke out of it. So he was telling one of the villains who's trying to do this. So, we're going to keep doing this so you could be the king of Groundhog Day. I can remember that. So, anyway. So, yeah. That's the last episode of the one that I saw from Star Trek Discovery was an episode of being a Groundhog Day again. And someone had to stop it at some point. Anyway. Oh, one more thing. Happy birthday, Jim. It's birthday, Jim. It's a birthday for Jim today. That's why he got me. Jim today, and happy birthday, Jim. Help us listening.
Yep.
Tell him to listen. Okay. How about you, Ray? What's up? We pretty much did the same thing.
Same thing, except for I didn't play softball because I'm lazy. But I'm glad fall ball is over with because I don't have to hear about it anymore.
That's right. I don't have to talk about it in the show.
I'm so sore. I'm hurting.
That's good. That's a good point, though, because as soon as I got home, I did a bath bomb. Have you tried one of those?
Yes.
Yeah, those fizzy things is bath fizz. So if your tub, hot water and everything, so halfway through, you throw it in and it fizzles, fizzes. So it's like a big Alka-Seltzer on your water. And then
just don't do the ones with glitter.
No. It's a good thing I don't have with glitter. So I specifically didn't get that one. Not that I saw anyone from Bath and Body Works, but we got that one. Just a simple one.
So what do you think about the news that came out today about Disney buying 20th Century Fox?
I think it's, them being rich and everything and being even controlled with a lot of the entertainment stuff. I think it's kind of dangerous because what happens now,
Think they're trying to get the X-Men back, and that's the only way they can get them back is they buy Fox.
That's the only way?
Yeah, because Fox owns the rights for the X-Men to do the movies and stuff. And Fox's movies haven't been that great for the X-Men. So I think Marvel wants to pull that control back and put it under Disney Marvel Studios. And
which makes sense.
Yeah. And then they can start interacting with the other Marvel universe. Because right now, because Fox owns them, they can only do stuff on Fox. That's why I like S.H.I.E.L.D. They own it, they have to talk about the Inhumans.
Yeah.
Because they can't talk about mutants because Fox owns them and they can't touch that. Hmm. And they can't touch them in the cinematic universe right now because it's all Fox and they're totally different, like, dimensions or universes. So,
yeah.
So I think that's why Disney's going after them, because they're like, they want the rights back.
They want the word mutant.
Yeah, they want to do.
Because I do think that if you go the mutant language, because that's what the X-Men universe is. It's all about mutants. And in the comic book world of Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but in the comic book world, there's a lot of spillover.
Yeah. So, like
between Deadpool and Spider-Man and the X-Men.
And you can mingle all of them. But then I do think it is limiting. Like you said earlier, it's kind of limiting that you can't use the word mutant.
Yeah.
And if they get to get that those rights, that you're making the use of the word mutant, that kind of goes back to how the Marvel Universe is.
Yeah.
And in the Marvel Universe, the word mutant and people having powers because they were born with it, that is the driving force of many, many comic books. Mm-hmm. Because in the Marvel Universe, whether you're Alpha Flight, whether you're in Avengers, whether you're in X-Men or any other New Mutants or whatever you have, they're all about people being born.
But the whole thing, too, when they bring X-Men back in, that opens up all the stuff like Alpha Flight. Mm-hmm. Even though they've been working on a Gambit movie forever, that's finally might going to happen now, they can bring Gambit back into the other comic series. And
would it be the same actor from Wolverine Origins?
No, because what's his name's playing him? What's his name from Magic Mike?
Oh, Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum is playing him.
He's going to play Gambit?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a perfect Gambit. Oh, my God. If he uses the same uniform or the same clothes as Gambit in the comic books.
So he's walked away a couple times because the movie got so – the script was so bad. He's like, no, I'm not going to be associated with this. And then they fired several directors and writers, and they're back at it again. So we'll see how it works out. But he's been trying to get that one forever.
Does he even know that if you – join this kind of franchise that he would be like a millionaire?
Well, I'm sure he's already a millionaire, but I think he's trying to push it over the top.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because pretty much if you get in a blockbuster Marvel movie, you're set.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's set now anyway, but you've been even more set if you're into that. Anyway, got to be geeked out on comic books and Marvel Universe and everything. So let's go. Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys, before we move on, San Antonio. So, we extend our condolences to the friends and family of the families that were affected by the people affected by the massacre in San Antonio. And it's really sad. I just got news from my partner, Mike, that he knows someone from school whose relatives were actually killed in the church. So, yeah, it's really sad that this thing is still, it's continuously happening. And I am really sad that it's becoming a normal. It feels bad that I feel like when I see it in the news that it's happening again, but there's really nothing we can do about it. I don't know. But it's just really sad that it continuously happens. And I don't know. Right now, I don't know if any direct family or friends who are affected right now, but it was in a small town. But then, like I said, I just heard that from Mike that he actually met someone whose family, probably two or three members of the family, were actually in that massacre. So it's really sad, and we extend our condolences. Okay, so now let's go to the Gay Ray.
Okay, this is an interesting study, Maynard.
Yeah, I think you posted this on the Gay Geek Bazaar.
Mm-hmm. Study suggests gay men fall in love with guys who share this one characteristic with their fathers.
And guess what it is? We'll find out in the article.
Okay. What's the color of your father's eyes, Maynard?
Brown or dark brown.
Like shit brown like yours?
Sure. Okay. Shit brown like mine.
And what color is Mike's eyes?
Brown.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. A new study suggests the answer may hold the key to what attracts gay men to one another. Yes, their eye color. The positive sexual imprinting for human eye color study conducted by the University of Glasgow suggests gay men are twice as likely to be shacked up with somebody who has the same eye color as their dad. This study meticulously studied the links between significant others and parents, delving into sexual attraction by applying the sexual imprinting theory, which wagers that humans pick physical characteristics in their mates that share commonalities with their parents. More than 300 men and women were surveyed and asked to reveal the eye color of their parents and partners alike. Those eye colors were then split into two categories, light gray, blue or green, or dark, light brown, dark brown, and black. Data suggests a trend in which the eye color of someone's same-sex partner can be the eye color of their dad, and lesbians will be into women who share their mom's eye color. Researchers say that the research found clear evidence against sex-linked heritable preferences hypothesis, which predicts a relationship between a partner's eye color and another sex partner's eye color. Our data gives a clear support to the positive sexual imprinting hypothesis. We were found that the partner's eye color is predicted by the maternal eye color for people with female partners and by paternal color with people with male partners, which I find this interesting because I've always been attracted to guys with green eyes. Now, my dad's eyes are blue like mine, but they have more of a greenish tint than mine. Well, I think mine have a little bit more greenish tint than his does, but they look blue, but when you get up close, they're kind of green looking.
Yeah.
So I've always been really attracted to guys that have green eyes.
And who was your partner before or now?
Nobody's ever had green eyes.
Oh, really?
I had one with blue eyes. And the one now's got brown eyes. So
this doesn't apply to you then?
I don't know. I said, I'm sure it's a trait that I look for in people, but green eyes are so rare.
Yeah. But for one thing, going back to the article, this study was done on 300 men and women.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a very good sample size?
Well, it's a good sample size to try to propose a hypothesis.
Yeah.
And then you can expand it past that to
extending to having more samples. Maybe if you get, 10 times the size or 3,000 and see if you can get kind of similar results, then is a good pattern.
But it also goes back to the whole thing with men and how their father how they see themselves in their father's eyes. So more so.
So it's like a daddy figure, maybe?
Yeah, father figure.
At some point. Father figure. All right. So that is interesting. I like that article because, my father's eyes is, dark brown and, Mike's got brown. So brown enough. I sometimes think that my eye color is really black, but I don't know. They said it's really brown. You think it's brown?
Shit, bro.
Shit, brown. Okay. All right. Let's go to the geek. This is interesting, also posted on the Geek Bizarre Facebook page. Stunned, scientists detect suspected hidden chamber within Great Pyramid of Giza. So, before I go on, I would think that people have done these studies, but apparently they're just... What are they doing?
Well, no. I mean, they took the pyramids and broke into them and got in them and did all the research and all that other stuff.
I think they just used sensors in this one or heat signatures.
Well, yeah. They used the same stuff they used for checking for oil and stuff. And they're like, oh, my God, there's all these open spaces in there. And what are they? Because we've never found these. And what's in them? So
better find out. What if they just really chop it up so they could examine it?
Well, I'm sure they'll try to find a way to get to them. I mean, they would have to get archaeological approval, but I'm sure they would be willing to go in there and see what they could find.
Yeah.
Because you never know what you might find up in there.
I know. Could be the Fountain of Youth. Okay, so let's go to the article. Though they were constructed nearly 5,000 years ago, the Great Pyramids of Egypt are still packed with secrets. Using a technique that leverages the power of cosmic rays. That should be your name, right? Scientists have confirmed the presence of a large empty space within Khufu's pyramid, a void that's signaling the presence of a possible hidden chamber. I'm kind of interested what it is. It's tempting to think that all the great archaeological discoveries from ancient Egypt have already been made, but new research published today in Nature shows there's still plenty of for us to uncover. The investigation into the internal structure of Khufu's pyramid, the largest pyramid in Giza, has revealed the presence of a large and inaccessible void within the structure. The researchers who led the study, Mehdi Tayubi from the HIP Institute in France and Kunihiro Morishima from Nagoya University in Japan, won't go so far to say that the cavity is a hidden chamber. But they're reasonably convinced the internal feature is a deliberate architectural feature of the pyramid. As to what's inside is anyone's guess. But the presence of artifacts and funeral items are not out of the question, according to Egyptologists. The discovery was made possible through the unlikely intersection of archaeology and particle physics. By making meticulous measurements of muons, those are elementary particles that rain down on Earth from deep space and are capable of traveling through solid objects, researchers were made to characterize the densities within the pyramid, revealing the presence of an empty space that measures at least 100 feet. That's about 30 meters in length. You know what's good to have here is Daredevil, so he could probably sense what's inside because he's got that sonar thing. Anyway, so
you know what they're going to find, right, don't you?
More tombs, more sarcophagi. What?
Isis.
Isis is going to be inside there. Oh, that kind of Isis, the goddess Isis. It'd be interesting what kind of things they're going to see. So are they allowed to bore holes in a pyramid?
I don't know. That would be up to the people of Egypt to decide.
See, that's the point, though. I've never been to Egypt, and I know only one person. I used to have a co-worker slash roommate back then when I first arrived in the U.S., he was Egyptian, and that's the extent of what I know about Egyptians. I've been around with one. But anyway, so I didn't really ask about anything about Egypt because he moved.
I mean, they'd have to formulate a good plan that wouldn't cause any more damage to the pyramid. And
would it be coming from an entrance downstairs, or they just go directly through the wall on top? Because they can
do
that.
I mean, they got to plan on what they're going to do to protect this, because this void's been sealed up for centuries, so it might, you know.
So the ones we see on photos or online, whatever, or pictures, or even in calendars, for example, and they have like the seven wonders of the world or eight wonders of the world, then you have the pyramids. Do you think that at some point people have already entered them, like through a door underneath, or
got all kind of secret passages and curses and stuff all over the pyramids. Anyone that's been built, even the Tomb of the Kings, a Valley of the Kings, all those had secret chambers and stuff, and there's no guarantee they found everything there. Mm-hmm. But new technology that allows them to see into the ground and what's there and what's not there, mm-hmm, is coming along. So, but, you know, there's probably still cities buried out in the desert in the Middle East that people were fabled to be there, and then a sandstorm come and covered them up, and they haven't been seen for centuries. So
that'd be interesting, though. I know. How until when? I mean, until when are we gonna?
It's like that kid a while back. We reported about the kid that used this geological mapping from satellites to detect where a city was in the rainforest.
Mm-hmm. Which city?
In South America, a hidden Mayan city in the rainforest.
Oh, okay.
Because we did that article back in the spring, I think, where he used the aerial geological maps and did some mapping software. And because of all this stuff, he figured out you could see, once he cleared out the vegetation, you could see the streets that lay underneath, mm-hmm, canals, buildings and stuff that were covered up by the jungle that you just can't see unless you go in there and start cutting jungle down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to the Bizarre Ray.
Okay. KFC is now making fried chicken-shaped bath bombs.
Which I just had last week, yesterday, because, you know, I came
Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No, just the bath bomb.
Okay. But you had a Kentucky Fried Chicken bath bomb?
No, I didn't. But I just had a bath bomb, pretty much it. But I can go with this. If I get a chance to get a Kentucky Fried Chicken bath bomb, that would be great.
Okay. Japan never ceases to amaze with its fast food culinary delights, from cherry pie, frappuccinos, Coca-Cola coffee, and even cough drop flavored Kit Kats. The country has you covered for every food whim. But what if you wanted to do is soak in a long, hot fried chicken scented bath? Well, KFC has now made that a possibility. The chicken restaurant has teamed up with Japanese retailer Village Vanguard to produce limited edition fried chicken scented bath bombs in the shape of a chicken drumstick. Unfortunately, not everyone can indulge in the KFC bubble bath. Only 100 of the bombs were made and will only be available to 100 lucky raffle winners.
And if they win,
I guess we can't get those here. We'll go get our $5 five piece.
Well,
$5 box.
Yeah, that's right. So who knows? Somebody might just get one of these and actually sell them online. I expect they're going to use it.
Expensive.
Yeah. So I heard about these bath bombs. That have you ever tried one? A fizzy or a bath bomb? Yes. Well, I will admit that I did try it once in my life. So, I got one of those bath fizzies, that's what they call it, and from Bath and Body Works, and just tried it last night in the bathtub, very hot water and dipped in it after it all dissolves. It's one fizzy. I thought it's gonna be like more carbonated or something, but. Mm-hmm. But it's really just a simple scent. There's a hint of something. I can't remember because I'm not very good with scents. But anyway, so I highly recommend it, Ray, if you get to try it. I mean, would you consider, let's say I gave you a bath bomb here. Would you probably spend a day just to use it, actually?
You're a terrorist. Why would I take a bomb from you?
A bath bomb, good Lord. A bath fizzy.
I might try it, as long as there's no glitter in it.
There's no question that nobody wants.
You can make your own bath bombs. I mean, they're not that hard to make.
Oh, really? How do you do it?
So maybe we need to make some and have Gay Geek Bazaar bath bombs, and we can sell them raise money.
You can make bath bombs?
Yes. Girl, do you not watch Pinterest?
Pinterest?
Yes.
You don't watch it. It's a website. Well, I guess you visit.
I'm watching it on my phone all the time. I found some very interesting things.
Oh, there's a video on Pinterest that they showed about creating your own bath bombs. So, okay, I got to see this then.
Okay.
That might save us some money. That'll be great. And probably sell them also. Okay. I like doing that. All right. So I guess that's our stories. And it's pretty bizarre. Pretty good. Oh, what happened last weekend? Last week. Oh, go Astros.
Yep.
We won. Well, yeah, we're kind of a week late, but, we recorded it. What did we record? Tuesday last week?
We recorded during the game.
Yeah, we recorded Tuesday after steak night, but there was no steak.
Yeah.
And last week, and we watched the game a little bit, and they lost.
Yeah.
Led to the seventh game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that the game was played seven. Yeah.
Did you try to go downtown for the
Suns? No, I did
it
not.
It was packed. Oh, my God.
You actually went. So tell us about it.
It was almost a million people down there. It was so.
Yeah, it was a million. Yeah.
The city of Houston screwed the pooch on this one. They did not realize how many people were going to be down there.
Well, yeah. Because
the parade route should have been longer. They should have had more businesses open. I mean, if I'd have been mayor of Houston, that the parade would have went from City Hall down to the baseball field, and the baseball field would be open, and all the restaurants would have been open in there, and people could have went there and got pictures and did all this other stuff. Plus, there'd have been stuff going on Discovery Green because you had a million people downtown.
Discovery area?
Oh. Well, no, this was down closer to City Hall, down towards the museum, down towards the theater district. Because they let us off work at 12 so we could go. We got down there about 12:30, and we were trying to figure out where we were going to eat. So we was like, oh, there's a Cafe Express. Let's walk over there and go to it. They're already almost sold out of everything. She said they've never been that busy. And she said we've never almost sold out of everything on the menu.
Yeah, it's Cafe Express.
That's how many people were there.
You said they actually ran out or
they were about to run out? Some of the stuff they'd run out of by the time we got out of order, and they were here to tell people we were out.
Wow, sweetie.
So
good, I guess.
And I went back there to get a refill or something, and the girl was talking about, we've never done this. We're about out of everything. We're going to have a truck coming here. We're
going to have to resupply.
Resupply for,
That's interesting.
So,
well,
yeah, everything was packed down there. Like, we tried to get, you couldn't even get within a block of the parade route, because the parade route went along here, and you were a block back. That's how deep it was down the side streets off the parade route. So we finally just went to the Flying Saucer Company and had a beer.
Where is that?
It's downtown. That's where Poppy Carlos has his thing, plaque on the wall that he drank all 200-something beers I have.
What?
Yeah.
Carlos had that record?
Yeah, he has one of them. He's one of many that has it. I mean, there's a lot of people, their names on the wall, but you have to drink all the beers to get put up on the wall. Oh. And some people have drank all the beers not once, not twice, not three times, but four and five times.
Oh, wow.
And you can only do three beers at a time.
I don't think I can handle that.
You can't even handle a martini, so.
I'm getting sober now. So, I'm good.
Yeah, so, but anyway.
All right.
We had to go in there and watch it on TV, and it was still, and that was packed. All the bars were packed down there, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, like I said, congratulations to the Astros. Congratulations to Houston for having our first World Series since we won the World Series since
this
the
is
last
the
time?
First one series we
ever won. Right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the first World Series ever. Congratulations,
Jose Altuve. Call me.
Oh, really?
Call it's me pretty. Poppy.
Yeah, I bet he's in your in your.
Call me Poppy.
Woods. Okay, so thank you for listening. So special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes. And you can also go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will catch you guys in the next episode of Gay Geek Bizarre. Bye.